How many of you watched the Super Bowl? That's probably like the obvious question, but how many of you watched it? Yeah! Arizona lost. It was a good game. I'm from Phoenix. I know what you're thinking. We're so sorry. You know what though? Phoenix is all beach. It really is. There's just no ocean there. Hey, it's good to be here. Tonight, Pastor Miles asked if I would come out and share with you guys my life story. And I'm thrilled to be here tonight. It's an honor and a privilege to be with you and to share how God moves in the midst of brokenness. Isn't life hard sometimes? Well, that was a quick answer. Yeah, I feel like you go through the valley of your soul. You're kind of in a rut. You're kind of sitting there just stuck. You're not sure what to do. You're not sure what direction to take. And life is just hard. And there's pain. And there's brokenness. And there's just a lot of things in life that are just unsettled. And I love the song that we just sang. I surrender my plans to you. It reminds me of a story of me driving. I used to drive a big, fat, Econoline Ford van. It was gray. It was a beast of a vehicle. My friends would nickname it Goliath. It was huge. It was a giant. And one day, we're driving through Bakersfield. You ever been there? There's nothing there. And so we're in the fast lane now. We're doing 75 miles an hour down the fast lane of Highway 99. Because we are going to the happiest place on earth, Disneyland. And there's a caravan of three vehicles. There's a Ford Explorer in the front. There's a Volkswagen Bug in the middle. And bringing up the rear is Goliath itself, this big Ford Econoline van. And we just want to get through Bakersfield. And we want to get to our destination, the happiest place on earth. And we're tight in this caravan. There's not much room bumper to bumper. Oh, there's a little bit of room, but there should be more. And all of a sudden, my friend driving the Volkswagen Bug jerks the steering wheel a quick right. Boom! And off she goes into the lane right next to the fast lane. And as soon as she moves out of the way, I see why she moved out of the way. There's a tire in the lane, in the road. And it's not laying down. This tire is rolling. And if this was a bowling alley, it would be a strike. And it's coming straight at you. And I look to the left of me, and there's a concrete wall in the center of this freeway. And to the lane next to me, there's an old couple. And they're like this. Well, actually, it's more like this. When we make eye contact, he makes eye contact with me. I make eye contact with him. And I'm trying to, with my eyeballs, say, get out of the way. I want your lane. Move over. Move over. He doesn't see the tire rolling. And so I look at my friend in the passenger seat. He looks back at me. And we know what's going to happen. We're going to have to hit that tire head on, going 75 miles an hour down the fast lane of this freeway. And sure enough, the tire hit dead center. We catapulted up into the air, and now we're flying through the air with the greatest of ease. And you know what I'm thinking? Disneyland, you got nothing on this. This is great. And we're going through the air, and we land, kaboom, kaboom, kaboom. And this is what happened to me. I'm just kidding. You guys are so serious. And we're going through this, and we land on all four wheels. And by the grace of God, we didn't roll over. We didn't flip. We didn't swerve. We just landed. We stopped. We went off to the left part of the freeway, right by that wall, a skinny little strip. We see bright red taillights in the distance. They move over to the left-hand side. They put their car in reverse, their cars. And my friend driving the Volkswagen bug leaps out of her car, and she's running for it. Run, Forrest, run! And tears are going down her face. These are her words, not mine. She said, when you were going to meet the tire, I knew there was nowhere you could go. You couldn't go left because of the wall. You couldn't go right because of the car right next to you. And so I'm looking in my rearview mirror, watching you in your van. And I'm thinking, he is going to hit that tire. He's going to hit, yep, he hit it. And off in the air, you flew. Your van went so high, I can no longer see you in my rearview mirror. And now I'm here to tell you the story tonight. And when I think of that story, you know what I think about? God's provision, of course. His protection, angels watching over me. But I also think about this. I think about God's truth. And Jesus' words. I think about us. I think about you. I think about me. Because our lives go 75 miles an hour. We're so busy. And Jesus' truth presents itself possibly every day to our lives. And so many times, because we're in a rush, you know what we do? We swerve right of it. And we miss it. And we go left of it. And we can't look at that truth. Because our mind is so focused here. Maybe we're holding on to something over here. And God can't use us because we're not surrendering our lives unto Him. We're not giving our plans to the Lord Almighty. And He wants to use us. You guys have your Bibles tonight? Can you turn to the book of John? Go to the book of John and flip open to chapter 5. And tonight I want to share with you my favorite miracle that Jesus has ever performed according to the scriptures. We know that He performed other miracles not recorded in the Bible. But this is my favorite one that's recorded, and it's only found in the book of John. In John chapter 5, and as you turn there, Lord Jesus, I ask that your spirit would just come upon this place. I ask, Lord, that you would speak truth. I ask, Lord, that you would convey your love. I ask, Lord, that you would probe, you would prod. And you would move us to be different people. I pray, Lord, for your grace to abound. And Lord, your truth is to be told and revealed. In your name I pray. Amen. John 5, look at verse 1. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there's in Jerusalem near the sheep gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. And here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw a blind there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" His response, "Sir," he replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool where the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." And once the man was cured, he picked up his mat and walked. And the day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And we'll just stop right there because those first 9 verses are rich with meaning and purpose and direction. And I love this story. It's a story about a man, like most miracles in the Bible, where we don't even know his name. It's a story of a man who has a man who is sitting on the pool bank of this pool of Bethesda. And he's there with other disabled people. There are those who are blind, those who are lame, those who are paralyzed. And he is banking on a ticket more or less, that will heal him and make him whole. And all he's doing there that day is sitting, waiting to get into the miraculous waters of Bethesda, because when the waters in this pool were stirred, the first infirm person into it, they would be healed. So here he is. Can you imagine his frustration? His agony? Can you imagine this pool? People are jumping in front of him. People are biting at the bit because they're so close, but yet they're oh so far. And they're longing for a hope. A hope for what? A hope to be healed. A hope to be different. A hope to be changed. A hope to be better. A hope for brokenness to go away and diminish. And I feel that's us today, this evening. Some of you are going through tremendous pain, hurts. And I'm not here to point the finger at you. Because Christian, me, myself, that's my story. And that's my song. And pain is real, isn't it? It digs deep. And sometimes I feel like pain does nothing but just create mats that we sit on. And we're lying there like the invalid at the pool of Bethesda, just waiting. Waiting for what? Sometimes we wait on the Lord, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we cling to bitterness. And God doesn't want that either. I want to show a couple pictures tonight. Is that okay? Yeah. This is show and tell. Remember that in school? Here we go. Willie, how about the candy? Here's my family. That's my stepfather, Bernie. My mom, Trudy, in the middle. She lights up any room she walks into. My niece, Megan, is 23 in the green. Laurel, in that little red sweater, that vest, is 10. Evan, my nephew, is 14. The next slide is my only sibling and older sister. Her name is Dawn. That's Eric, her husband, and of course their three children. They all live, my family, in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's beautiful there. Here's a picture of me in fifth grade. Oh, here we go. My favorite thing about that picture is that kid in the red sweatshirt. Doesn't he just look evil? I'm like, you want to step outside because I can take care of you right now. That little smirk on his face, whatever. Do you see that machine? Do you see that machine on that table in front of me? Do you know what that is? Yes, and they do not make them anymore. When I was born with a condition called fine motor cerebral palsy. It didn't affect much about me. I can still run. My voice was still great. I can do everything a normal kid can do. I just shook in my hands. That was it. And because I shook in my hands, I could never write legibly with a pen or pencil. So all through school, I had to rely on a typewriter to do my schoolwork. I would plug the machine in at school. I would type my work. You would write your work. And that's how I got things done. And I always thought it would be fun if I happened to have a teacher who would give quizzes. And her quizzes would just be statements about her subject. And she would give us the opportunity to respond with only true or false responses. True has four letters in that word. and folks has five. And can see my friends just sitting there not writing a thing and just listening to the typing of keys on the typewriter. Wouldn't that be a blast? That would be so fun. T-R-U-E, that's true, that's true. And then in eighth grade, I go to bed one night, and I'm looking just like you guys. Well, I'm a little bit better looking than you guys, but I go to bed one night looking just like you. And the next morning, I wake up, and my life was changed forever. And I still remember that day, and I will never forget it. I was laying there sloshed around in my waterbed. Remember those things? I hear the sound of water gushing through the pipes underneath to go through the sprinkler system that would water our back lawn. I can hear the birds chirping as they perch themselves upon the windowsill outside my bedroom window. I can see the particles of dust shimmying in the sunlight, making a spotlight above my bedspread. And I'm not a morning person. But it was Easter morning, 1983. And I moved my legs over the bed frame of the waterbed. And the moment I stood to my feet, my head fell forward like a ton of bricks. So far forward that my chin was now touching my chest. And I could not lift it back up. And overnight, that took place. And it started a whirlwind of events. And it started this journey of life in my faith of this walk with God with brokenness. And it caused me to have questions about who this God is. It caused me to challenge how much he loves me. If he is such a God of love, then why did this take place? I went through counseling for 6 years. My self-esteem was shattered. I felt like a piece of rubbish that you just throw on the ground and people would tramp on as they walk on by. And I didn't feel lovable at all. From eighth grade to my senior year of high school, 4 or 5 years there wasn't a day that got better. Every day it got worse. The voice that you hear today used to be worse. It's a little bit better now. The way that I walk is what you see now from that result of that night. I used to have this huge lump on the back of my neck that was just pure muscle because I was so buffed. But people were so amazed because this is part of this muscle nerve disease, and it's called torsional dystonia. And it took them 2 months to diagnose it. And here's a picture for you, the next one. It's a picture of me in a wheelchair. That's my senior year of high school. All dressed up and nowhere to go. And I sat in that wheelchair prisoner to circumstance. I sat in that wheelchair frustrated. I sat in that wheelchair angry. I sat in that wheelchair just wanting to shake my fist at God Almighty and ask him, why? Why me? This does not make sense. And I'm wearing a tuxedo because in the next picture you'll see why. I was asked to my senior prom. She's cute, huh? One day my friend Angie is pushing me to my next class in high school. And she said, hey, I have a question for you. Can I take you to the prom? know what I said to her? Do you see me in this wheelchair? Yeah, I do. I'm kind of pushing it right now, Chris. Yeah, I get it. I said, Angie, what are we going to do? I can't do things. I haven't figured it out. You know, when girls get together, they congregate, they do whatever. They figure things out. We're going to double date. My friend's boyfriend, he'll help you, Chris, with whatever it is I can't help you with. So I went because I would be a fool to turn her down. A great friend, beautiful. We go to the prom, we go on the dance floor, we do 360, she pops a wheelie, she rocks it back and forth. That's how we danced. People. God put people in my life at just a strategic time. You know what I think he did? To show me Jesus when it was hard for me to see Jesus himself. He allowed people to be the hands and feet of Jesus that I could see. You know your pastor, Ricky Page, at this church? He's my best friend. We've known each other since we were 8. And Ricky's been through a lot with me. He's been down this road of brokenness, this journey of life that I've been through. He's been a dear, true friend. If you don't know Ricky Page, you need to know him. You're blessed to have him here as part of this ministry. Incredible man of God. The next picture is a fun picture as well. It's a picture of me and Mr. Bill Cosby. Yeah, what? He's wearing a Steelers sweatshirt. Yeah, I knew who he was rooting for today. I'm there with my mom. We're in Lake Tahoe. We're at a stand-up comedy show. He wanted to meet me because he heard about my predicament. That's his dressing room after the show. He spent about 25 minutes with me just talking. Just an incredible, wonderful man. And that is not a pink sweater. It's salmon. The next picture is this. It's a picture of me at Wheelchair Olympics. I went from a push wheelchair to a motorized one. Those things are a blast, okay? Get out of my way, here I come. These go so quick, it's just crazy. And then the last picture I want to show you today is a picture of me at a swim meet. All my years is a ribbons that say first place. That's a lie, I came in last. I was killed. I was smoked and burned. They beat me like crazy. I got involved in swimming at my community college where me and Ricky grew up in Northern California. And I enrolled in this class just for PE credit. And lo and behold, this is what the Lord would use in my life to bring about a healing that we begin to start. And 2.5 years later, I'm walking around. Because I realized that when I'm... because I realized that when you're in the water, you're not fighting against gravity. So taking those steps are very therapeutic. And lo and behold, that's what God used. So wouldn't it be interesting, or isn't it interesting, I should say, that God would use the pool of Bethesda to speak to my soul? You know what's amazing about this miracle? In John 5, Jesus, with one word spoken, he could have healed all the disabled people there that day. Instead, he chose one. We don't know his name. And he had been in this predicament, John 5 says, for 38 years. Was he born in this condition? We're not sure. He could have been an old man, for all we know. The only thing we do know is that he was burdened by this for 38 years. And before Jesus even began to heal, he asked a question of him, which I think is pretty obvious. Did you catch it? He said, "Do you want to get well?" I'm like, wait a minute, Jesus, hold the phone. Hello? Jesus, I know you're cool, but you're kind of a little bit slow right now. Catch up here. Come on, come on. Pick it up, pick it up. Yes, of course he wants to get well. Look at him. He's on a mat. I think he's picking his nose. No, he's on a mat. He can't walk, Jesus. And you have the audacity to ask him, do you want to get well? Hello? Duh-ha-ha. And that's why I like this miracle. Because Jesus doesn't do a thing until he first poses a question. It's a question of a lifetime. And the question is, do you want to get well? It's a golden opportunity. Freeze the moment. Maybe Jesus is asking that of you tonight. And you're sitting down the banks of the pool of Bethesda, and you're waiting. And you feel so close that you're broken. Your life is hurting, and it's filled with pain. And you're on a mat. And that mat, whatever it is causing division in your life between you and your Lord. You know what, Jesus? You could have everything else in my life. Take it. There's the backyard. Go play. You want this? This mat? No. You go play. You have all authority over everything else in my life. But I want that. You want this? No. You can't have this. Because you're holding on way too much. Because I'm asking you a question. Do you want to get well? And it starts today. You can get up off your mat and go. You know what's interesting about this miracle? The invalid at the pool of Bethesda says in verse 9, and once the man was cured, he picked up his mat and walked. Did you catch it? He picked up his mat and walked. He didn't run. He just moved. And you know what else is interesting about this miracle that I love? He took his mat with him. You know what that says to me? Jesus isn't so concerned about your physical condition. He's more concerned about your soul. He's interested in you and how it is he wants to use you. And maybe that means you're going to have to carry your mat with you. And maybe that brokenness is going to linger. Because that's where he wants you to be. And that's how it is. He wants to use your soul. You know what someone once told me once? And I'll never forget this till the day I die. He said, "Chris, you really have two choices. You can choose to be bitter, or you can choose to be better. what will it be for you, Chris? Because you see, the word bitter and the word better are two similar words. The only difference between the two is the second letter of both. The word bitter has the letter I, the second letter. And the word better has the letter E, the second letter. You know what bitter is, Chris? It's an I sin. It's a sin that focuses on me, 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 me. And it's a prideful sin, Chris. It's a sin of arrogance. You know what the word better is? You know what that E means? An everlasting blessing. Not because this life has anything to do with you. It has nothing to do with you. This life that you live is not about you. It's about me living in and through you. And sometimes you just have to carry your mat with you. But you can still walk. You can still go. You can still find joy and fulfillment and strength. I'm with you always. And Chris, that truth is coming right for you, Chris. Dead sinner. When are you going to stop swerving right of it and going left of it? When are you going to stop and just listen and embrace the truth head on? It's just like that incident with the van and the tire. God is good. He doesn't make junk. He makes you and me his people. And this whole time, this artist has been on stage. You know what he's done tonight? All night long? He's used pieces of broken glass, pieces of broken things to paint a picture on a beautiful canvas that represents beauty in the midst of brokenness. And maybe God wants to paint a picture in your life tonight. And maybe we have to answer the question, do you want to get well? And it begins today. Maybe for you it begins right now. Do you want to get well? Are you going to be left stranded on your mat? God's calling us to move and get going. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the way that you love, the way that you move.